Hi, and welcome to Bridges with Gordon Harris, connecting you on a path moving forward. I'd like to welcome back our listeners, as well as welcome you if you're new to the show. At any time, if you'd like to join in the conversation, you can send us an instant message through AIM. My screen name is Bridges Talk Radio, or give us a call at 888-815-9756. Want to start out by just letting the new listeners know that this show is brought to you by the Body, Mind, Spirit Center, which is a nonprofit organization that works with people with life-threatening illnesses, and we are fully funded by donations. So anybody that wants to go on, check us out. Every little bit helps. I know that after our first show last week, we had quite a few donations, which helps keeps us on air, as well as the current projects we're working on, one of which is sending out guided meditation CDs to cancer and HIV centers throughout the country so that they're available to people free of charge. So that's a big project, and every little bit helps, and united, the impossible is always possible. And today I would like to introduce to you, we have a very special guest, somebody I met a couple of weeks ago, who when I began talking to, and actually right now I have goosebumps again, just an incredible person, Kathleen Gilley, also known as Kathy, who is a cancer survivor. She's a cancer survivor of 4 years, and she used the power of her mind and xanthones to help for cancer in remission. She's a licensed professional counselor and respiratorist, and has been in the medical field for over 40 years, around 40 years. And I'd like to bring her on now. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much for being here with us today.
Thank you for asking.
I was just introducing you. I have goosebumps all over again. It was just so wonderful meeting you, and I felt it was very important that we get you on here so you can share your story and everything you've been through. And I know you have a lot of good advice for people that are dealing with their own trials in their life. So maybe we can start out by maybe sharing a little bit about you, and I guess from the beginning here.
All righty. Well, I've worked in the medical profession almost 40 years, and then I went and got a master's degree in counseling, and I'm a licensed counselor, and I was pursuing my PhD. I had almost completed my PhD, but I kept feeling sicker and sicker and sicker. I was getting more tired and weaker, and I was hospitalized in October of 2004. They thought maybe my heart was causing problems, and those tests all came back negative. So the physicians thought it was just exhaustion and stress from trying to work and go to school. And I was 54 years old and single. So I kept getting worse and worse. I'd lost about 10 pounds over 6 months, and I didn't really pay much attention to that because of my schedule. But on the 1st of January 2005, I thought, I need to get healthier. I need to exercise, eat better, and lose weight. So I got on the scale on the 1st of January, and I didn't eat healthier, and I didn't exercise during the month of January because I felt so horrible. And I got on the scale the beginning of February, and I had lost 5 pounds, and then I knew something was definitely wrong. I had unexplained weight loss. So I went to my doctor, and they discovered that my liver enzymes were 430, and they're supposed to be less than 35. So they thought maybe I had a hepatitis. So they ran hepatitis tests, and that came back negative. They ran more blood work, and within a week, my enzymes had increased to 540. He got me into a surgeon the very next day, and he got me into tests 3 days later. They thought possibly it was my gallbladder, so I had this test, and this was a day that I will never, ever forget. It was February 25th, 2005. I was having a test to see about having my gallbladder out, and then when I woke up from the anesthesia from my test, standing above me was the doctor who did the test, my surgeon, the doctor who I work for, and my son, who looked like he was sucking on vinegar pills. And my surgeon proceeded to say, Kathy, you have pancreatic cancer. Without a Whipple surgery, you will not live 60 days, and even with surgery, your prognosis for living longer than 60 days is dismal. I had the surgery 4 days later, and it took 9 hours. They took out my gallbladder and parts of my pancreas, part of my stomach, and a couple sections of my intestines, and 9 lymph nodes from my abdomen. The cancer had spread into the lymph and was 1 millimeter from entering the intestines. This put me at stage 3 pancreatic cancer. I don't know if people know about pancreatic cancer. There's more about it in the news because some very popular people and well-known people have been fighting this battle and most of them losing it. But pancreatic cancer is the most lethal form of cancer. And one, it's the 4th leading cause of cancer in the United States. The reason it is so lethal is, one, it's not usually discovered till it's more advanced. The cancer is very fast-growing. And the current chemotherapy drugs are not very effective against it. I ended up having the surgery and massive complications. And my hospital stay was supposed to be 11 to 14 days, and it ended up being 5 weeks in the intensive care unit, on and off life support, and then 2 weeks in an oncology unit, and then I had to go to a rehab facility for another 5 weeks. When I was in the intensive care unit, I developed blood clots in my legs, blood clots in my lungs, blood infections, and ventilatory respiratory failure. I was unable to maintain my breathing, which resulted with me being on a life support for 3 different times. When I was in the rehab facility, I was so debilitated. I was in a wheelchair, and I wasn't able to read or write. And I had to learn how to do everything all over again. 2 physical therapists, along with a walker, was what was necessary the first time. They literally almost lifted me to my feet. I learned to read again with one eye. I started reading again a large print Bible with one eye because 2 couldn't focus. I could recognize my letters, but I couldn't put them together into words. And then I was able to put words together, but I couldn't follow the line. So I started reading newspapers with a magnifying glass because the columns were only, 2 inches wide maybe. And that's right. How I learned how to track lines. After I was able to do that, I could start reading again. It took months to do this, though. And I learned to write again by using a big sponge-colored covered pen, and I wrote Bible verses over and over and over, and that's what I did. I learned to write by writing Bible verses. And when I was having emotional meltdowns, I would read my writing so I could say, my Bible verses over and over to try and help me maintain my courage and stamina to continue through my treatment and my therapy. I was in the hospital, in the nursing home. I was in 3 months. And then I came home from the hospital 2 days late. And 2 days later, I started on my natural products to help me with my recovery. 7 weeks later, I started chemotherapy and radiation, and it was extremely intense. My doctors did not know if I would even live through the treatment. It was so intense, but I did. And I have to tell you, when I was first diagnosed on February 25th, I looked right at my doctors, and I told them, I'm not dying. I said, I don't have time to die right now. I said, I have a grandbaby due in 6 weeks, and I have a son getting married in 5 months, and I'm dancing at his wedding. And my son was married 5 months later, about 6 weeks after I got home from the hospital. I put down my cane, and I danced at his wedding. And that will bring tears to my eyes every time I think about it, because no one expected that. I've been in complete remission now for, 3 years, 5 months, and 3 weeks. It'll be 4 weeks on the 25th. Huh. And so... the doctors call me a miracle patient. The fact that I lived through what I lived through, the cancer was supposed to kill me. They thought the chemo and radiation was going to kill me. The blood clots in my lungs could have killed me. The infections could have killed me. But for some reason, I don't know why, God has decided to let me stay. And now I'm doing what I can to continue to maintain my health.
Wow. I have goosebumps all over. It's so incredible that, and I think you using the power of your mind, and I know when I first met you, you told me that there was that you used to sing a song to yourself about the cancer leaving you.
Right. There was, because my chemo and radiation, I had really severe gastrointestinal issues with it. And when you have, and it feels like the worst case of the flu, and you know you're going to have it every day for months, my chemotherapy, what I did for my medications was I took 3 pills in the morning, and 12 hours later I would take 3. My nausea was so severe that they put me on the strongest anti-nausea med, and the normal dose is 1 every 24 hours, but they still had, I had to go on 1 every 12 hours, and I would take it an hour before my chemo drugs. And even with that, I had severe, severe gastrointestinal upset. So what I did was, for some reason, South Pacific was a movie that I just loved as a little girl, and instead of singing the words to, I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair and send him on his way, I don't know how it's happened, but I started singing, I'm going to flush that cancer right out of my life and send it on its way. So every time I would get sick or I would need to use the bathroom facilities, I would sing this song. And then when I'd flush the toilet, I don't mean to be gross, I would yell at the toilet, and you are out of here. And I would visualize all the time the cancer leaving my body and leaving my house and going totally out of my life. And on days that I had a lot of visits to the bathroom, I would tell myself, you are not sicker today. You are getting better. You are getting rid of a lot of cancer today. You're really getting rid of that cancer today, so today's a really good day. And I used to do that all the time. Another time I had to use a lot of visualization was when I started my radiation. My radiation, they told me, you are going to lose some or all of your left kidney from the radiation. It would be burned out. I had to not wear any restrictive clothing at all because my skin would, what they thought was going to just tear from the clothing. They said that, I was going to probably lose all my left kidney, and I would have horrible burning of my skin, and my skin was going to tear. So the thought of having to go into this room 5 days a week for week after week after week to be burned just absolutely annihilated me emotionally. And I mean, I had never fainted in my life, but the first day I walked into down this long hallway to go to the treatment room, I thought I was going to faint. I truly did, and the therapist had to hold me up on each side to help me walk into the room. And as I walked into the room, in the back of the room with these chrome racks, and hanging from the chrome racks, they're body casts. And everyone's a different shape and size, and what their purpose is that we lay in them on the radiation table. So I walk in this room for the first time, and it's this big, white, sterile-looking room, and there's these racks in the back with these royal blue vinyl body casts, everyone. And they look like how bodies and chalk lines look for, like,
right.
That's what they reminded me of, faceless, headless body casts. And I quickly looked to the left because I couldn't stand looking at these. And I looked to the left, and there were shelves in this closet, and on the shelves were rows of mesh casts of heads for people who were having radiation to their head and neck, and it looked like rows of skulls. So I couldn't look at that, so I looked to the right, and I saw the radiation table, and on the table was my body cast. And I knew I had to crawl into this cast and have this treatment.
Wow.
So they put me in my cast, and I started, and I put my prayer cloth in my hand over my head, above my head, and then they put my prayer quilt over my feet, and I just sobbed. I just sobbed in my first treatment, and you can't move, and you can't wipe the tears because you'll misdirect the beam. And I knew from that day forward I had to do something different. So from that day forward, I visualized, instead of being in a body cast, that the Lord was holding me in his hands. And that I wasn't alone, because I visualized this entire room just filled with angels floating above me, and they had these halos that were these bright gold, and they looked like sunbeams, and they were just looking down at me. And I visualized the Holy Spirit in my blood, just like going around my entire body with armor, you know, like a knight has on his arm, you know, to reflect the swords, that he was reflecting all the harmful beings so that none of the beings, so I wasn't on a cold hard table. I was being held by the Lord. I was being watched over by Jesus and all these angels, and the Holy Spirit was keeping the burning rays away from me. I had only one small burn about the size of a nickel below my rib on the right side. Until the last week of radiation, maybe the last 10 days of radiation, where I got like a mild sunburn on my lower back. That was it. And I didn't lose any of my kidney function. None. My skin never tore. It was very delicate, but it never tore. It didn't burn, and I didn't lose my kidney. Now, I firmly believe in the power of positive thinking and ways that we can help us get through things.
Absolutely. And the whole time before you talked about being surrounded by the angels, I could see you surrounded by angels. And,
really?
And you, well, or, hello?
Go on.
Oh, okay. And that you are truly here to help other people, and you're right where you're supposed to be.
I hope so. I keep asking God, what do you want out of me? And I keep waiting for him to like slap me upside the head, and he hasn't. So I just keep thinking, you know, God just keeps bringing people into my life who are dealing with severe mammary cancers. And I try to help them. You know, I have talked to people across the United States that are fighting pancreatic cancer. I've talked to people in Canada that are fighting pancreatic cancer. I've talked to people in my own city and neighbor and community that are fighting pancreatic cancer. And even if they are not successful with their fight, I hope that I can help them pass gently. And while they are fighting, we have a little bit of hope. We have a little bit of hope. My prognosis is I have a 1 to 4% chance of living 5 years. And so I'm getting what I call short. It's what they used in Vietnam, the guys called it, when they were getting towards the end of their tour. So my time is, for my 5 years, is getting short. But I firmly believe through the help of God and the natural products that I use and stuff, I'm going to be here. And I do
Absolutely.
Give God the glory. I do give God the glory that he is with me, and he has brought people into my life that have helped me fight my battle. And hopefully I can help other people fight theirs.
Absolutely. That's what I've turned my own health issues and illness that I'm dealing with into. I call it my gift. Instead
Your gift?
Of it's not my burden or something, you know, it's my gift, because it's allowed me to create the center, to work with people, and to reach out and help other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's so important. That's why I wanted to create this show. It's so important that we do share our stories, because there's so many people dealing with similar situations that feel like they're alone.
Oh, it really is. And for me, you know, I'm almost, for a while, I was a little resentful, because you hear all these support groups for these different types of cancers, you know, and they have all these, you know, meetings to help them through. And when you have your pancreatic cancer survivor, you don't have a support group. There aren't many, you know.
Right.
50% of the people who get pancreatic cancer die within 6 months. 50%, and only 1 to 4% are alive in 5 years. So therefore, I don't have anybody that I can, you know, commiserate with, that I can talk to, that knows what it means, you know, to go
right.
in to say, you know, okay, you're probably going to be getting your gallbladder out, and you wake up and they go, you have pancreatic cancer. That four-word sentence took my life as I knew it and took it and trashed it. It just put it into a million pieces, and I'm putting the pieces back together. And through numerous ways and help from many, many people, I'm getting it back together quite well. I'm back to work. I teach college, and I'm a counselor, and I've done that, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. And I'm not a diabetic. They thought I might be a diabetic, insulin dependent. I'm not.
Oh, wow.
And I know. You take out part of the pancreas, you lose some of the insulin. And yeah. many people who have had a Whipple surgery end up being diabetic. But I'm not. So that's a good thing, too.
You're definitely surrounded by angels that are watching out for you.
I believe that. So I just pray that I...
What are some of the... I know that you incorporated some other natural products into your lifestyle. Can you share some of those and
sure.
what they do?
Uh-huh. Well, 2 days after I came home from the hospital, a good friend of mine walked in, and he had this box on his shoulder. And he said, "Drink this." And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "It's a juice." And I said, What kind of juice?" And he says, "It's juice from the mangosteen fruit." And I said, "Is that the mango?" And he said, "No, it's not the mango. It's a totally different fruit called the mangosteen." And they are showing that it may be effective in helping with cancer. Well, when you've been told you only have 60 days to live, and you've already gone, at that time I was like 93, but who was
right.
counting? I was willing to try many things. I didn't try everything. I mean, there were some things that people came up with that I just thought, no, like the one where I was supposed to sit in this oxygen-enriched environment at 104 degrees, and the oxygen was going to seep through my skin and kill cancer. So I'm a respiratory therapist, and I know the oxygen cannot seep through my skin. We have a hard enough time. So, you know, there's some things I did not do. But the fact that aspirins came from the bark of the willow tree, I know that. Scurvy was cured because people were given vitamin C. That the thought of taking a juice, an all-natural juice, that it may have something, intrigued me, and I believed it. I truly did, because there's just every chemical prescription that is on the market now that is produced by pharmaceutical companies had an animal or plant base, every one. Then, after they get the basics of it, the scientists and researchers can make it chemically when they find out the molecular composition of it, and then they keep altering it. But in the process of altering it, they develop side effects. So this all-natural juice that I started drinking, I have researched it because as a college teacher, I researched it. And there are over 1,000 scientifically researched journal articles about xanthones and their health benefits. So I believed it even more. And so I started drinking it. And for an individual with cancer, they have this regimen where you drink a bottle of juice a day along with a gallon of water. I had been on a tube feeding for months into my intestines. Nothing. My body just wasn't tolerating anything orally. Eating food was just next to impossible. So I couldn't do that. My body just was not ready to accept that much anything. So I drank a half a bottle a day for 5 weeks or 6 weeks. And I have been in remission ever since. I now drink about two ounces, three times a day. And when I may be having some GI upset, or I will drink a little more. The xanthones there are 46 xanthones in this juice, and each xanthone does something different. Researchers have found over 200 in our planet, and most fruits and vegetables contain 1 to 3 xanthones. The mangosteen fruit, along with the rind or the pericarp, contains, they know, of at least 46. They've discovered 46 so far. And each one does something different. They've only really researched 6 of them, so they don't even know for sure what all these can do. And that's why it has so many beneficial effects. So I take my xanthones. There's only one brand that has the whole fruit in it. There are another knockoff, but
right.
the original is made by Wild Flavors, and that's the one I use. I won't use a knockoff. It's the original one, and it has the fruit and the rind. The fruit's about the size of a tangerine, and it's a white fruit, and it's very, very good. But the majority of the xanthones, which are the medicinal benefits, are derived from, come from the rind or the pericarp, and it's a deep purple. and it is very bitter and can't eat it. So they crown, they pulverize it, and they put it into the juice. And that's why the juice is a deep purple. Now, it comes from Southeast Asia, and it's been used over in that country, in that part of the world, for hundreds and hundreds of years. And the first articles were published about it in the mid-1800s. So that's been around a long time. And it's getting a lot more recognition and research done. Even some of the, one of the largest pharmaceutical companies now is researching it to see what all they can get, discover for the effects of it.
Right. I know. I actually just, while you were talking, I just typed in xanthones on Google, and wow, it brought up 318,000 possible links to read more information. But I know that there's a website that you had mentioned where they can get more information on the xanthones, and if you want to share that.
The name of that one is called, it's www.xanthoneeducation.com, and I will spell that. Xanthone is X-A-N-T-H-O-N-E, education, E-D-U-C-A-T-I-O-N.com. And when you go on to that, it will talk about all these different substances, catechins, and phytonutrients, et cetera. But to the right of that are sites that have research. And what I did was I found one, because if my cancer spreads, it's supposed to go to my liver. And so what I did was I saw there was a research article that had a title that talked about research for xanthones and liver cancer. And what this researcher did was he compared xanthones against six chemotherapy drugs for liver cancer and, I believe, gastrointestinal cancer and lung cancer. And they found that to be, they were more effective against human cancer cell lines in vitro, in laboratory studies, than these chemotherapy drugs, which really intrigued me because the chemotherapy drug that I took was one of them that they studied. Now, the doctors do not understand why mine hasn't spread. They don't. They don't understand it. But I firmly believe with all my heart, and I will tell anybody anywhere, anytime, that I believe that these xanthones that they are showing are effective against liver cancer in laboratory animals and in laboratory dishes has been a benefit that has helped me. And it's an all-natural juice. There are no side effects, and I don't have to take and have my, you know, my liver examined for cytotoxic effects for
I was just getting ready to ask you if it's something that if you drink, you can't drink too much, or
no, you can't. If a little kid would get into drinking too much, it may give him a little diarrhea. That's
it. Because I know when I tasted it, it tastes pretty good.
Yes, it does. It is a good flavor. I mean, kids don't even drink it. When my daughter-in-law was pregnant, she was telling her doctor about it, and her doctor told her, I've been hearing a lot about this. And she said, I want you to stay on it, and I want you to give it to your granddaughter or to your baby when she starts drinking juice. I was at a conference over the weekend. There was a woman there who had ovarian cancer, and they didn't know how well she was going to do, and I can't remember how far along she's at, but she drinks still a half a bottle a day, every day.
Well,
a friend of mine, employee's wife, was diagnosed with lung cancer, and they said probably 2 years with chemo and radiation, and at that time I was 15 months in remission. They contacted me, and they said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm drinking this mangosteen juice. Well, she started drinking it. She did the bottle a day along with a gallon of water for 21 days, and since then she's been drinking a couple ounces three times a day. And she's 24 months this month, and she's still in remission. So that's all I know. And it has other effects. Like, I was diagnosed with arthritis in my early 40s, and I had to wear orthotics in my shoes, and I was on arthritis medicine. I don't have to do that anymore, because the xanthones are also, the mangosteen fruit has what's known as a COX-2 inhibitor, and that's what these anti-inflammatory drugs are. They're COX-2 inhibitors. ibuprofen and aspirin.
Right.
They are right. They decrease the CAX too, and so therefore you don't have the inflammation and the pain. I don't take anything for that. I used to be on a medication for high cholesterol. I don't have to take that anymore. You know, people meet me, and first of all, they look at me and they go, "You don't even look like you've ever been sick." And you saw me, and I don't think
no,
I look
you don't.
Like I've.
Yeah.
I know. And
you don't. No.
And then their other question is, "I bet you're on a lot of meds." And I go, "No." They go, "You're kidding." I go, "No, I'm not." And then I tell them what I do. Many people are intrigued, and some people think that it's snake oil. And I acknowledge their opinion and ask them to look at the research, because the research supports many things that are true in my case.
Right. I do have, actually, a friend of mine and myself as well, I have the irritable bowel syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, would that be something that would be good for me, for my stomach?
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. What it does is helps decrease the irritability. And what they say is that when you take it for a condition, that you should take it for 90 days, because it takes 90 days for the cells to turn over completely. So when they do that, they say to take it for 90 days. And if you don't feel any better after 90 days, you can stop taking it. That's all there is to it.
Right.
But they actually have some information on irritable bowel that I can send people if they'd like to read it.
Okay.
I currently am working with a woman who is taking it for horrible, horrible psoriasis. Her hands were actually cracked and bleeding from the psoriasis. She has been hospitalized in major research hospital, well, the Cleveland Clinic here in Ohio, for treatment of her psoriasis, and she was desperate, because psoriasis patients also have problems with arthritis. And she is a young mother of 6 children, and she was having problems with arthritis, the pain, and her hands were cracking. I mean, horrible psoriasis all over her body, but her hands cracking and bleeding. So she started taking it, and within days, her arthritis pain had gone away. And within about a week, her hands started getting better. And when I talked to her last week, she had gone to the doctor, and her doctor kind of said, "Oh, you're wasting your money." So she quit drinking it for a few days, and her arthritis pain came back. So she went back on it, and her arthritis pain went away. And now her hands are no longer cracked and bleeding. And she's only been on the product for about a month.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I have a friend in Florida who I need to get her in touch with you, because she has it really bad, and her hands crack and to where she has to, like, wear gloves, because
mm-hmm.
they get so bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely have to get her in touch with you. But if anybody, let's see, your website for anybody that wants to contact you is figbelieve.com, correct?
That will get them into a website that will tell them about the product.
Okay.
And they can, and my email is also on my website. And I have to tell you, people ask me often, "What does Fig Believe? What is this?" And the FIG stands for Faith in God, and that
okay.
I believe. And that's where my Fig Believe came from. It's like, I have to have faith in God, and I believe that I'm going to be okay. And see, I am okay. And, you know,
absolutely.
And that's it. And then when I talk to people, it's like, you've got to believe. You've got to believe.
Absolutely. That's what, you know, if I always say, you know, if our time here has to be short, I want to make it pleasurable while I'm here. And, you know, we want to not want to sit around and be depressed, and, you know, it's enjoy life. And my favorite little saying is, it is what it is. And I do want to share this real quick, though. I have these wonderful little cards that are by Dr. Wayne Dyer, and it's the 10 Secrets for Success and Inner Peace cards, and there are 50 cards. And I pulled a card right before we started the show today, and it was pretty cool. It's Embrace Your Personal History. There are no accidents in an intelligent universe, So all the dark times, accidents, illnesses, and broken dreams were part of your spiritual advancement. Embrace them, understand them, accept them, honor them, and transform them in your own way. And that's so important, and that's what you've done, and that's what I've done. And, you know, I really feel that you already have and will touch the lives of so many people and everyone you come in contact with.
When I was going to finish my PhD, and so when I was over at the medical college library, I was going up the elevator, and I saw these two young men, and I knew because they had on short coats that they were medical students, because when they're residents, they wear long coats. So when you see a short coat, you know it's a medical student. And so I talked to them, and I just said to them, I said, you know, when you become physicians, I said, do not take the hope away from your patients. I said, because that is the only thing I had to hold on to for a long time. And I said to them, you know, God determines who stays, and God determines who goes. And if God can raise Lazarus from the dead, he can keep me alive. And I said to them, you know, when I told them, I said, I'm a pancreatic cancer survivor, their jaws dropped. And I said, metastatic pancreatic, and they just couldn't believe it. And I just told them that every physician that told me I had no chance of survival, I removed from my case. Because how can you go to a physician who says, yeah, you're going to die? What kind of treatment and what kind of relationship could I have with this person? So I told them, I said that this is it. You know, we have to have hope. Because at times hope is the only thing you can hang on to when medical interventions, they say, are not going to work. Hope that God will heal you. And I didn't like to admit it, but also hope that if it is time for me to pass, I have the courage to accept it gracefully. And yes, that's how I feel. Anyways, I ended up, these two young men, the one happened to be the president of the Christian Medical Students Organization, and I ended up being the speaker at their noon luncheon.
Oh, wow.
So I got to talk to a whole group of medical students who are Christian, and talk to them about hope and the effect of hope.
Wow. Hope is such a powerful little word.
Mm-hmm.
And you're actually going to be speaking at our event in Toledo, Ohio. It's the weekend of April 4th and April 5th at the Toledo Body, Mind, Spirit Festival. We're going to have a huge event, about 100 to 150 exhibitors, guest speakers, and we're honored that you've agreed to speak and share your story and your product. And we're looking forward to that. So if anybody's in the area or wants to come in the area, there's information on our website, which is bodymindspiritcenter.info. On that event, they'd like to come out and hang out with us, and it's going to be a great time. I'm looking forward to it. Talking about hope, I actually read an article a couple of weeks ago on hope, and it was just so moved me, because it's so important. That I know that last summer, after dealing with the things that I had dealt with, and just in general, that I just try to surround myself with positive people.
Uh-huh.
You know, with anything we do in life, you know, you don't have to be fighting an illness, but things go so much more smoothly when you surround yourself with positive people and positive energy. And I have my buddy's aunt is, I've tried to explain it to her, and she just doesn't get it, and I just, you know, it must just be one of her karmic lessons she's here to learn, and it's not time for her to understand. But, you know, it's so important that we surround ourselves with positive people.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree totally. Positive in our lives bring positive people to our lives.
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of like I keep running into the most wonderful people. God keeps bringing wonderful people to me in my life. And people go, how do you meet these people? I go, I don't know. Like, how did I just bump into you? Really? Seriously?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. It just happens.
It's all divine time.
Mm-hmm.
We were where we were supposed to be at that moment.
Right. And I was only at that organization, that place where we met. We were there for like 7 days, and I was only there 3 days. And you just happened to be there the same time I happened to be there, because if you'd come a different time, we would not have met. So I don't believe in accidents.
No. Everything happens for a reason. And I actually almost didn't come up there that night. And I was like, no, I really need to go. You know, I want to go walk around, and I want to go see who's up there, and met you, and it was, you're just such an incredible person, and I get goosebumps talking to you. It's just, you truly are an angel here to help other people, and don't ever get discouraged or anything, and if you do, call me, and I'll remind you, because you truly are a very special person.
Thank you. Thank you. Matter of fact, the medical student that I had the pleasure, true pleasure of meeting, called me up last week, and maybe a week and a half ago. And I haven't talked to him since I did my luncheon meeting presentation probably 5 or 6 months ago. And he just called me up to say thank you. And I said, really? He goes, really? He says, whenever I get discouraged thinking about my long haul ahead of me and all these years of school and my, you know, 12, 14, 16 hours a day of studying, I just keep thinking of you, and it just makes me feel better. So I just want to let you know that even though I haven't talked to you, and I was kind of having a blue day that day. I really was. You know, sometimes it's not always easy to be totally positive. Every once in a while, things will just kind of get to you, and I was kind of having a little bit of a blue day that day. And I just thought, well, see there, God just brought him back to my life. And I said, well, thank you. So that just cheered me up, and I thought, get over it, Kathy. Get over it.
Yeah, right. I do want to say, when you said a little while ago about not having or switching to doctors that were positive and not having doctors that, you know, say you're going to die, I did that last summer. I had a doctor who was didn't want to let me speak and wouldn't listen to what I had to say. So I basically, he finally got upset with me and said, you know, I don't have to put up with this. And I said, you know what, I don't have to put up with this either. You need to leave my room.
You got it.
And he kind of looked at me funny. I said, I'm sorry, but you're done.
Right.
I need you to leave my room.
Right.
You know, and that's one thing, you know, and I don't think, from the way he looked at me, nobody must have ever told him that before, but from what I've heard, you know, he was very arrogant and, you know, and didn't want to listen to what the patient has to say. And, you know, as when you're dealing with something, you know best what's
right.
Going on inside you. You may not understand or know what it is, but you know when something's going on and when something's not right.
Now, when I was acutely ill in the intensive care unit, my doctors told me beforehand that I would probably be in the ICU for 4 days. Well, I have memories of, I would fade in and out with the memory. I have little snippets of memory here and there, and, you know, I was on a vent, and I taught respiratory therapy. I used to, matter of fact, many of the respiratory therapists who took care of me were my former students. And they
oh,
were
wow.
scared to take care of me. It's like, oh, what if I make a mistake? It's like, I was asleep, guys. How would I know? They were wonderful to me. They truly were. Anyway, so when I woke up, I went to sleep in February. I woke up in April, which is
oh, wow.
really weird, because I went to sleep and it was cold and snowy. And I woke up, and the first time I remember looking, I looked out of a window, and it was spring. And the sun was shining, and I thought, oh, what happened here, you know, because I thought it was 4 days. And I have to say that for the 5 weeks I was in the intensive care unit, my doctors and nurses and respiratory therapists and everybody, they did not give up on me. When everything, my children have been raised by a mother who is a respiratory therapist, an educator. I told them, if ever I'm on a vent and I'm going to die, I said, you take me off. Do not leave me on a vent when there is no hope. Do not torture me if there's absolutely no hope. And they've been taught that. Well, my sons are in their 30s. They actually had the meeting, and they decided at this time, should we stop? Mom has always made us promise that we would never torture her if she's going to die. So my sons got together with my surgeon, and they said, you know, Mom made us promise her that we would never torture her and leave her on a vent if she's going to die. And my surgeon, the sweetheart that he is, said, her kidneys are still functioning, and her heart is still good. We've got to take her to surgery one more time to try and clear up this infection. And he did, and I turned around that time. But the doctors never gave up on me, and the therapists and the nurses took wonderful care of me. And so I am very, very blessed because, you know, all these things, you know, the it's called sepsis. It's a blood infection. The sepsis should have killed me. The blood clots in my lungs should have killed me. But, you know, chemo and radiation they thought was going to kill me. The disease was, you know, and I'm still here. So evidently I must really have a purpose. So, but yes, I did have a couple. I did have one physician and one nurse that were just not supportive at all in any way, shape, or form. But considering I had, I can't even imagine how many hundreds of people that took care of me. Two isn't bad. Two isn't bad. You know, that was excellent.
Yeah.
'Cause, you know, my doctors and, you know, they were wonderful to me. And I just always am grateful to them. I pray for them every night. I pray for them every night so that they can continue to do their work.
Wow. Wow. I'm just, like, blown away. It is, it is just amazing.
Uh-huh.
It is amazing. And this website I have up right now, this Xanthone Education, if anybody missed that, that was xanthoneeducation.com, xanthoneeducation.com. And there really is just a huge wealth of information on here.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. It amazes me that the Xanthones are being researched so heavily now. Two of the main researchers in Japan were bought out, one by a vitamin company, well, they were put under contract, and one by a vitamin company and one by a huge pharmaceutical company, and now they are not allowed to, they are on a non-disclosure, so they're not allowed to talk about it. So when pharmaceutical companies are starting to take a look at this, and vitamins, companies. Now, I also have to tell you that the company does have vitamins now. We do have vitamins that contain xanthones. And in November, we're coming out with skincare. And I am so excited about the skincare because they show that it's effective against, I have pictures where people had horrible eczema, people have had poison ivy, poison oak, the psoriasis. So by if it's effective by drinking it, they actually show people that put it on gauze and put it over their burns and things and how much it helped heal. So I am so excited about the fact that we're going to be having skincare creams to help with issues such as acne scars, injury scars, eczema, things like that. So that's going to be coming out in November, and I am thrilled with that because I have... like your friend with the psoriasis in Florida. You know,
let's
see if we can get this under control.
Yeah, I was just reading here. It says that the mangosteen contains 9 times the catechins, the green
catechins.
Tea has. Okay, catechins. And those are antioxidants.
Right.
So that's some powerful stuff.
One other study, which I have found to be in is that they have found that one of the xanthones is effective against HIV protease. And protease is a required enzyme for people that have HIV, for HIV to replicate and reproduce.
Hmm.
If HIV does not have adequate protease, it doesn't replicate, it doesn't reproduce, and it doesn't infect other cells. And they actually have a study out now where they can show that there was inhibition of the protease. It has a potent inhibitory activity against HIV-1 protease. So, you know, I guess for me, I look at these conditions that, you know, people kind of give up on us, and it's like, we can't give up. We can't give up. There's something here. I don't believe that there is not something to help. I can't say I'm cured. People with cancer are not allowed to say they're cured, but I think I am. You know, and it's kind of like with HIV. It is another disease that has a very poor prognosis, so let's try and work on it. And I don't believe mm-hmm. that there is a disease on the planet Earth that there is not some way to help it. I just don't believe it.
Oh,
we may
absolutely.
Not have found it yet, but we're going there.
Right.
And if this can help, let's go for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that could be a whole other show, because I really feel that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, they could cure, but I, you know, there's, I think it's too tied up with the drug companies.
I agree. I want to also, you know, I don't know about this, but I'm willing to give my personal email if people are needing information, if they want more information, because I feel like I am absolutely blessed. The person who introduced me to the mangosteen fruit had just found out about it the day before, and he was desperate because he's my bud, you know, he's my friend,
right.
And he loves me. And it's like, look, if this can possibly work, let's go for it. And I kind of like, I cannot say that it was what put me in remission. I can't, but I believe it was. And if people would like information, they can contact me. And if they do go onto the figbelieve.com, my email address is already there.
Okay.
But if they want to have my email address, they're willing to have it. So if they want to, here we go.
Okay.
It's M, like in Mary, K, as in Kathleen, Gilley, G-I-L-L-E-Y, the number 2, at yahoo.com.
Okay. And I also, this morning I put a link on our website that can get them over to your website. If they forget or didn't have a chance to write that down, they can go to the bridgestalkradio.com and your information is there, and we'll send them right over to your site.
And I have to comment that there are knockoff brands, but the Zan mangosteen juice that I use is the original, and it has a patent on it. So you can get it. You can get other juices that have xanthones, but the ones produced by Wild Flavors is the only one that has the whole fruit. They actually pulverize the rind and the fruit itself. None of the others have it. Some researchers have compared the different ones, and they have found that the whole fruit one is much more effective. So I'm just asking people to please, you know, please get the one that has the whole fruit, and if they want help, I can help them with this.
Okay.
Great.
And I got to wrap things up here, but I thank you very much for being on with us today. It's been a pleasure, and hope to have you on sometime again. And we will, if anybody wants to find out more information on Kathy Gilley or on the radio show, go to www.bridgestalkradio.com. Also, we have a free online newsletter, which you can sign up for, that comes out monthly. Sometimes we send out special, announcements and events that are coming up. Just make sure if you do sign up for that you click on the confirmation email that you get. Otherwise, you won't get anything from us. And make sure you check out all the great stuff on our website and visit our featured practitioners. And until next time, I wish you much peace, love, and light in everything you do. You've been listening to Bridges with Gordon Harris on BBS Radio.